There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com. Join their team today. Sean Syed from Sumer Sports, NFL analyst for them. He will join us at 8:20. And B-Rob, Brian Robinson Jr. from your Washington Commanders, he'll be on the show at 9 a.m. So the Commanders are hosting the 6-2 Pittsburgh Steelers coming out of a bye week. Mm-hmm. And they're 2.5-point favorites at Northwest Stadium. Should they be? Should they be favorites over a perennial AFC power in the Pittsburgh Steelers? The Commanders are 7-2. I mean, sitting at home,
you're
home
7-2.
Game.
Look, the sports books set the number. They just mm-hmm. want to get some action on both
right.
sides. But that's what you get when you are 7-2.
That's right.
And you've been hot.
You get respect.
And you played the Ravens tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the tough teams on your schedule, you've either beaten them or you've played them tough. And, you know, that's what happens when you're averaging 30 points a game. Mike Tomlin probably loves the fact that he's an underdog.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming off a bye.
So the Steelers' road wins this year thus far, they won at Atlanta in the opener, 18-10. The mm-hmm. next week, they won at Denver in a squeaker, 13-6. And their other road win is against the Raiders. They pounded them real good, 32-13. That was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. I would give the Steelers a very slight edge. I think it's fine to have the Commanders as favorites. Now, it's a home game, right? So if it was mm-hmm. in Pittsburgh, it would probably go the other way.
Sure. Be flip-flopped.
The Steelers' defense right now is number two in terms of points against. They only give up 14.9 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
They've got T.J. Watt. They've got playmakers on that defense. I'm not overly impressed with their offense, but it's been better with Russ under center.
The passing numbers have definitely been better. In the two starts for Russell Wilson, he passed for 264 against the Jets. That was a win. And he went for 278 against the Giants. He was 71% completions in the Giants game, 55% in the game against the Jets. His average per attempt is almost 10 in the Giants game, 9.1. So he's pushing the ball downfield. Like, he's getting George Pickens involved in the offense. Downfield where he should be, where he threatens your secondary.
And that's what they need. I mean, they need to explode a little bit. But defensively, they can just win games on the defensive end. Like you mm-hmm. pointed out, I mean, they've only given up 119 in, what, nine games?
Right.
Eight, nine games?
T.J. Watt has four strip sacks already.
Right.
Or four forced fumbles.
Mm-hmm. He's going to really test Jaden Daniels' ability to take care of the ball this weekend.
Yes.
Like, that's one of the hallmarks so far of Jaden Daniels is he's not turning the ball over.
The team in general.
It's something that you expect from rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to know where Pittsburgh ranks in quarterback hits, too, because it seems like they're always hitting the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Highsmith is a stud, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they just pound QBs.
I don't know if I'd be able to track that.
Yeah, it's got to be some sort of a website that has that category. But I got to be honest with you. Like I said earlier, I mean, this game is big just because it's the Steelers, it's the matchup, and you got two division leaders. But I don't think this game's as big as the one next Thursday.
Against the Eagles.
Yeah,
I mean, they're all big because the overall record.
You want to win at home. Like,
no, I understand.
Home games are important.
I understand
but yeah,
that.
Division game does.
But the Eagles
take
game
precedence.
The Eagles game is just massive.
I'm just worried about that game because it's on a
short week. Yeah,
you got to travel.
Well, it's a short week.
You're going to be coming off a tough physical game against the Steelers.
Short week for the Steelers or for the Eagles too.
True.
Phone number is 800-636-1067. I want you to answer your own question, Cakes. He said, should the Commanders be 2.5-point favorites against the Steelers? I'm going to say yes. They're basically even Steven teams the way I look at it right now. Toss up, home game for Washington. And I know there's going to be a bunch of terrible towels there, but Washington's offense more prolific than the Steelers. Steelers do have that defense. I kind of see it as a toss-up, so I got no problem. To answer your own question, Cakes, what are your answers?
I would say yes, they should be. They should be favored. But if I had to bet on this game, I'd probably take the Steelers getting the 2.5 points or the 3 points, depending on where you're booking your
bet. If I worked in a sports book somewhere, if they asked me, what would you set the line to start the week, I might put it at a pick 'em. But I could see why they're 2.5-point favorites because they're playing at home.
Yeah, at a neutral field, it probably would be a pick 'em.
Yeah, but I might even put them in a pick 'em even at Washington. But I can see why they're a slight favorite at home.
What scares me, two things scare me. One, that they're averaging almost 140 yards a game on the ground, okay?
Which is what the Commanders gave up in the first half against the Giants, which was alarming.
So that obviously needs to be addressed. And then their defense. I mean, they're the second stingiest defense in the league. Only giving up 15 points
per
game.
But I will say this. The fact that the Giants coming into the Commander game were number one in sacks in the league, and they were pretty high up in hits, quarterback hits too, and they didn't touch JD.
Right. The offensive line.
So they did a good job against. So maybe they can do a great job against TJ Watt.
The reworked offensive line is just a massive storyline for 2024 for the Commanders.
Yeah.
Like I had no clue it could get fixed this quickly with Coleman. You draft him, you add the free agents in Allegretti and Biotish. Like, kudos to hat tip to Adam Peters and his staff for identifying the right guys to bring in to make that offensive line. They're a plus. Like, I think we just were like, just don't suck. Just don't be terrible. Like, they've gone leaps and bounds beyond that, which is great.
I part of the reason why I think a lot of us, one, like in our innards, are scared of this game and want to maybe give a little lean to the Steelers is just pedigree. Just like what the Steelers program has been under Tomlin. We're like the upstart young team. But, man, we are pretty, outside of what that Bears game, we're pretty friggin' explosive. And they're a great defense, and T.J. Watt will be a handful. But I think to be at home and to be favored, I think it's probably correct to be slight favorites at home.
Okay.
Just because we're so explosive. Look, oftentimes you look at matchups and you go, who's the better quarterback? Is there any question right now who's the better quarterback? Our guy or their guy?
I'd rather have JD, yeah.
Yeah.
But their quarterback is fitting well into what they want to do.
Fair. So and he's a veteran, and he could have a massive game at any point.
Yes.
I feel like we're kind of hitting on all cylinders offensively pretty well.
I mean, they did allow 27 to a Joe Flacco-led Colts team a few weeks ago.
If you look at their, I did it yesterday, and you guys mocked me because you said, and correctly so, you could say the same thing about the Commanders.
But the schedule?
Their schedule, like who they've whipped up on, ain't that impressive. It's nothing to be super excited about.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could do that for a lot of teams. You just have to say you got to beat the teams on your schedule.
I mean, they barely,
which they're doing,
which is true. And I'm not holding it against them, but it's like it puts it in context. How good are you? So they beat a Falcons team. Remember when Kirk didn't even look like the real Kirk in Week 1?
He was like hobbling around, barely moving.
Did they have him like just everything was shotgun or something? Remember, they did something weird.
Everything was shotgun.
He couldn't move.
Couldn't do play action, like which is a then big part of his game.
Then they beat the Broncos team, which has an okay record, but, I mean, they
scored
13 points.
That was in Bo Nix's, like, second start.
Yeah, so second start ever. Okay, they beat a Chargers team that, okay, maybe that's a good win. Colts, they lost to.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to the Cowboys team that's in disarray.
They
beat a terrible Raiders team. They beat a Jets team that's in disarray.
Don't you toss out all the Justin Fields games. I feel like they're a different team with Russell Wilson. So I feel like you should just look at the Russell Wilson games for this version of the Steelers. And I'm saying I'm not overly impressed by them. I do think that he's been an upgrade over Justin Fields. They play differently with Russell Wilson under center.
Mm-hmm.
He's more efficient, particularly with the downfield passes. They just seem like a better offensive operation.
They're just, you know, they're well coached. They're going to be prepared.
Right.
Their special teams. They got Danny Smith, one of the best special teams coaches in the league. Their special teams is always pretty good.
I think you can pass on them.
Well, maybe.
Statistically. If they're going to give them time,
like you got time against the Giants, yeah, you can pass on them.
You have to game plan specifically for TJ Watt. He's got 4 forced fumbles. His sack total's not super high based on his history. Trey Hendrickson leads the league now with 11. TJ's just got 6.5. But he's got 4 forced
fumbles.
Probably
gets doubled all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And on the offensive side, Najee Harris has been really good the last 3 weeks. He's gone for 106, 102, and 114. And he's averaged 7.6 yards per carry, 5 yards per carry, 6 yards per carry. That is something you have to worry about.
Every week I worry. We make every running back look silly.
Well, I mean, Najee Harris, I would guess his over-under prop on rushing yards is probably going to be like 75,
mm-hmm.
75 and a half.
Oh, yeah, that would be a win. If you hold him under 75, that's a win.
Might lean towards the over with his recent production.
Let's go to Mo in Largo. Mo, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, by the way that they do it, I guess we should be favored, you know, way they calculate the, you know, the averages, points scored per game, plus we're home, you get 3 points as well. Personally, it smells like an emotional hedge. I mean, you can get plus money on the money line with them, a couple minimum props, and if we win, great. If not, then, you know, you make a couple of bucks. But, I mean, this game really isn't that big a deal. Next week is. So, you know, hopefully we go out there, we remain competitive, make a good showing. I would love for us to win, but you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to feel negatively about our season or our progress if we don't win this game. But I really like our chances. Like you said, they really haven't beaten anybody, and this is still Russell Wilson. I mean, he's had a couple good games, but he's still Russell Wilson. Let's make sure that's understood. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, I don't think you want to sleep on Russell Wilson.
He's been efficient. He's been efficient, hasn't turned the ball over in his 2 starts.
And he's going to throw the deep balls.
Yeah.
Even if guys are covered, he throws that high arcing ball.
Mm-hmm. His moon
and it's going to be a battle between, you know, St. Juiced and Pickens or whoever.
I think Van Jefferson's been starting to emerge for them offensively a little bit, too, to take some of the pressure off of Pickens.
And then we talked about it yesterday, that 11-4 record off a bye for Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
That's an impressive number. I mean, they're going to beat you by not turning the ball over, by establishing the run, keeping the ball away from JD, and getting after JD when he, you know, with TJ Watt.
Let me correct it. It's 13-4 after a bye week.
13-4. That would concern me.
According to this, says the Steelers have won 7 straight after a bye dating back to 2017. That's a pretty good streak.
I know. It's a little scary. Let's go to Matt in Stafford, 800-636-1067. Hey, Matt, what's up, buddy?
Just like Jason just mentioned, TJ Watt, he can take over a whole game by will just on his own. But Jaden, he's the same way. Highsmith with TJ Watt, that could pose some problems. I think it's going to be a classic game, but there's 3 phases of the game, and Danny Smith is coming back to town, and Danny Smith is on fire right now. So I think it's going to be a great game, but I give a little edge to the Steelers.
All right, thank you.
So if you give them a little edge, then
the fact that they're 13-4 after byes,
mm-hmm.
that's a crazy number.
Yeah,
it's a scary number.
Yeah,
makes me want to take the Steelers plus 2.5.
Although I got to say this on our behalf, what Witt and that staff and, you know, DQ have been able to do defensively to kind of keep us competitive, mm-hmm. despite a very leaky run defense and pass defense. But they've kept us competitive somehow. And they have had games or two here and there where they actually looked pretty darn good defensively. Maybe they could shore it up a little bit this week.
Hopefully that's the case. All right, when we come back, we'll continue to talk NFL. Sean Syed from Sumer Sports will join us next here on The Fan. Don't forget...
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Brian Robinson from the Commanders will join us coming up in just about 35-ish minutes. That's at 9 o'clock. But right now, we're joined by Sean Syed, Sumer Sports' NFL analyst. He's been on the show before. You can check him out on Twitter at Syed Schemes. That's S-Y-E-D Schemes. Sean, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing well. Looks like we just got some news on the Darius Smith trade, so hopefully it's going to be an exciting trade deadline Tuesday.
That's a big one. Yeah, break that down for us.
Yeah, I think that it's a really, really smart move. It feels like it was not really a secret in any way that the Lions were wanting to make a move for a pass rusher. Obviously, once Aiden Hutchinson goes down, and you're a team that has realistic Super Bowl hopes, I think it makes so much sense. And, of course, we'll hear a little bit more about the compensation. I think that they only ended up having to – or that it seemed like they moved a fifth and a seventh and got a sixth back. So that just feels like a situation where this is a little bit of a rental. And then for a team that is, looking to play in New Orleans in February, that makes a lot of sense. He's still a productive player. I think he's going to make an immediate impact. And, you know, I think over the deadline overall, we might not see huge names. We might not see, like, T. Higgins move. We might not see DK Metcalf move. But to add a rotational piece to that rusher room, I think that's just a super smart move for Detroit.
So, Sean, we've already seen Cleveland sell off Amari Cooper. Now, Zadarius, are there other moves from them? They seem to be in full-blown just sell-off mode.
You know, if I'm looking at the roster a little bit, if I think that maybe they want to move a guy like Dalvin Tomlinson, defensive tackle, I think that's a place that teams could sort of look at. And I think that they are understanding that they are going to have a little bit of a reset there. I think I'm sure Andrew Barry is calling every single person in the league. Everyone is calling him because they know the situation. So maybe that's a place that you look a little bit, just like considering their cap situation, of course, around their quarterback. It's a little bit of a rough situation for them.
Talking to Sean Syed, you can follow him on Twitter at Syed Schemes. I saw that you wrote about the Ravens offense, and they actually had a challenge this week on paper, because they were facing the Broncos defense, which was number one by EPA per play. What did you see from that game?
Let me tell you what I didn't see is the number one defense by EPA per play. It was a really, really fantastic game for the Ravens. And, you know, when you look at the Broncos, I still think that they have a good defense. Of course, they played, you know, a little bit of an easier schedule, but Lamar Jackson had, like, no design rushes in that game. So a situation where you can look at Lamar Jackson and think, oh, you know, he's a running quarterback. He is just a capital Q quarterback. It was fantastic.
at the position. They can win in so many different ways. He's more than happy to just get under center, play like a traditional quarterback, and beat you that way. I thought that Zay Flowers had another really good game where, of course, they add Deontay Johnson. And on the outside, they just have separators to win in man coverage. And that's a beautiful counter to a run game that forces you to really, really get a lot of those bodies inside. So when you're looking at a team that their counter punch is Derrick Henry, it's just a really, really hard situation to have to deal with what they have on offense.
Sean, you tweeted this yesterday about the Commanders. Jaden Daniels continued his stellar rookie campaign as the Commanders' offensive line dealt with the Giants' pass rush. Daniels took zero sacks. Washington's rushing attack was effective even without Brian Robinson Jr. We saw Chris Rodriguez come in and churn out some tough runs. Austin Eckler chipped in, scored a touchdown as well. Talk about what you're seeing from Jaden and the continued evolution of this offensive line, especially Coleman, the job he did on Brian Burns.
The offensive line is, of course, Jaden Daniels is such a revelation the entire season, but the offensive line is something that keeps on sticking out to me because that is such a sustainable thing. When you have an offensive line that is pushing guys around, that you look at a defensive line in the Giants, that they're able to create so much pressure because they have such a deep edge rusher space. They have Dexter Lawrence inside as well. And they could be selling players off their defensive line just because of how deep they are. So for the Commanders to have that game where Jaden's just comfortable back there, he's able to avoid sacks. And that's another thing where people came in wondering, hey, are you going to be able to change how you did this in college, avoiding sacks when you're under pressure? And he just is. And for him to continue to be calm, cool, and collected in the pocket, to bail when he needs to deliver accurate balls and have a situation where he doesn't have to throw the ball 40 times a game. And why would you when you have that creative of a run game where you're able to have depth pieces there? Because I really, really like watching Brian Robinson Jr. play. So to have him out was a little bit of a bummer. But seeing other guys come in there and be able to succeed, it feels like a really sustainable environment. And I think that is a positive situation going forward for the Commanders.
Yeah, do you feel like they can have the same sort of success with the Steelers coming into Northwest Stadium this weekend, another stern test for that offensive line?
Yeah, that might be the biggest test on the rest of the schedule. Obviously, you play the Eagles twice. That the Steelers defense, that defense line is going to be able to get pressure. I think it's less of expecting, you know, Jaden Daniels not to get sacked at all or not to get pressured at all because they're just too good up front. They're going to find a way to get you. To me, it's more about, are you able to, you know, just limit T.J. Watt just a little bit? Are you able to find different ways to get Jaden Daniels moving in the pocket? And I feel like Cliff Kingsbury has done a good job of giving Jaden Daniels different answers. So I lean towards yes because of what we've seen so far. And, you know, maybe I just have a little bit less faith, I think, in what we've seen from the Steelers offense recently.
All right, Sean, so the teams that are completely out of it, the 2-7 teams, Pats, Browns, we've already talked about. The Jags are also very interesting because they're having a terrible year. I'm sure they're going to make a coaching change. Trevor Lawrence has been, for the most part, bad. I know he's had some drop passes, but he was really bad this past week. Do you see the Jags moving anybody? Because they've got some pretty big names that people are interested in.
You know, it's tough that the Jaguars, I think they really wanted to move Christian Kirk. It seemed like they have some movement in place there. Of course, when he gets hurt, that's a tough situation. I think that when, obviously, they've paid their quarterback, so their cap is kind of tied up a little bit in that way. I guess, like, I don't see them moving Josh Hines Allen. Like, that doesn't really make too much sense. Of course, they moved their rotational left tackle to the Vikings. So I guess I'm just not sure who is going to really be kind of targeting one of these players. Maybe if you think they have a deep edge rusher room, maybe that's a place that you look, because of course, you know, you can want to be a seller, but you still need a buyer when you make movement sometimes.
How screwed are the Dallas Cowboys moving forward?
The Cowboys are in a really rough spot. It's unfortunate. You know, I moved down to Dallas. My nephews may love watching the Cowboys. I think that the spirits are not too high there. But the situation even going into the season, it felt like you were an offense that had all these issues last year where your offense was centered through CeeDee Lamb, which that is not an issue, right? You want to center your offense around a fantastic player, but then there were really just a lack of options outside of that. There wasn't a realistic run game at all, considering who was in the backfield there. And then, of course, with Dak Prescott being injured, anytime any quarterback gets injured, that's such a big issue. But then you consider, obviously, injuries on the defensive side. You consider the Commanders leading the division. You consider the Eagles really coming along, and it just feels like this team is headed for a reset. It feels like that they're certainly going to, or I would assume they're going to move on from their head coach at the end of the season. So maybe they, I don't know, they bring in some new ideas. They just have something where it feels like Dak Prescott is a quality quarterback. So you want to see them do something overall.
Joined by Sean Syed, Sumer Sports NFL analyst. So the Cardinals are atop the NFC West. That has to be a surprise. They've already beaten the Niners and the Rams. And Kyler Murray's been inconsistent, so they've really had to lean into the running game with James Conner. And their defense is pretty punishing. They were giving Caleb Williams fits this past weekend in Glendale.
Yeah, and Arizona's defense, of course, they make a trade. They add an edge rusher from Denver. It's the NFC West is a little bit weird, right? Of course, as you said, the Cardinals are sitting at the top there. To me, it still feels like the 49ers are the team that you'd pick to be the favorites there, but the Cardinals are a team that also, you know, a little bit like the Commanders, you have a attacking power run game where you're able to get multiple tight ends on the field. You're making defenses look at you just in a different way because not a lot of teams are running that sort of style of offense. And it feels like, you know, they're getting Marvin Harrison Jr. just moving around the formation a little bit more. You don't have him just isolated on the outside. You get him running across the field a little bit. I certainly like what I see from Arizona. But again, when you think about it, it seems like Christian McCaffrey's practicing. Of course, he might not be at 100% full health, the same he was at times last season. But it's just too hard for me to ignore the 49ers in that division.
Sean, the Dolphins are 2-6. They've lost three straight. Obviously, with Tua being hurt, they were dropping some games. Now they got him back, but they lost a tough one this past week where they scored points but couldn't win the game. I mean, I based on their record, I think they're out of it. Do you see the Dolphins possibly moving anybody before the deadline?
Yeah, the Dolphins, that's another just tough situation where they played such a good game against the Bills. I wish that, you know, they were able to kind of put things together. When you think about them, I would love to see Calais Campbell get moved. Maybe he could end up as a Raven because I think the Ravens are a team that really needs to add an edge rusher. That's, I think, the spot that I would look at the most, where the Dolphins are another team where it's a little bit just of a tough situation given their cap, given some of the moves they've made recently. So, you know, I think I would like to see the Ravens get someone at the edge rusher spot. So Calais Campbell feels like maybe someone that they could get.
Sean, how big is that injury to Drake London? He suffered the hip pointer this past weekend, but it just looks like Kirk might lean into throwing the ball more to Darnell Mooney, more targets go to Pitts, and he's definitely upped his production throwing the ball to Bijan out of the backfield, too.
You know, in those first few weeks of the season, we looked at the Falcons and thought, well, Kirk Cousins can't move. He's having too many issues. This is just not going to be a team that we have to take seriously, and they've really, really come along. Of course, as you mentioned, Drake London gets that, you know, the hit pointer that he ends up getting on that touchdown against the Cowboys. It seems like that injury is not going to be too serious, which is really big because, as you mentioned, they have a really, really good offensive weapon room. Darnell Mooney is so happy to be out of Chicago. He's just consistently getting open. He's a really good route runner. You have Kyle Pitts. You have Drake London, who, again, I think will be happy. And Bijan Robinson at running back he's just a guaranteed missed tackle. It's insane to watch him in space sometimes, and every time he gets the ball, it's like, okay, well, the first guy's just not going to be able to make a tackle. And in the NFC South, where, of course, the Buccaneers drop a tough one on Monday night, they have the tiebreaker over the Buccaneers. The Panthers and the Saints, you don't see them as teams that are going to make a run in the division. It just feels like we kind of have to pencil in the Falcons to the playoff picture.
Sean, so everybody obviously in D.C. and really across the country impressed with Jaden Daniels. What have you seen from the other rookies? Drake May made that incredible play, then had the interception in overtime, which was terrible. Caleb hasn't done that much the last couple of weeks, and Bo Nix has come on. What have you been your takeaways from those three?
You know, when you look at it overall, it feels like the Commanders really kind of got it right. I think just starting at the top there with Caleb Williams, you know, when I came into the season, you look at the offensive infrastructure and think, well, this is just a fantastic situation for a rookie. And I think over time, we've seen a little bit of the struggles with Shane Waldron there. You've seen the system overall putting a lot on a quarterback, and Caleb can clearly handle it. You can see him at the line making all the adjustments, but the same way that Washington has so many plays where it's Jaden taking the snap and making a quick throw, it feels like, you know, Chicago has just not as many, I think, good designs overall. So it feels like that environment is a little bit of a tough situation. And when you look at Drake May, just a big, fast player. I really, really love watching him move around in the pocket. He has a live arm. Of course, we haven't seen too many of the results yet, but when I watch him on film, it feels like they got their guy because you've seen enough of those good things. Now, that team overall is going to take a little bit of time to rebuild, but I really like what I've seen from Drake May as a play extender. I think that's going to be able to just, you know, higher his floor just a little bit and making some of those deep throws. It's an entertaining brand of football. And then Bo Nix, I think he had his best game in week 8. I think you go up against the Ravens where you make an awesome catch in the end zone on that fourth down play. I think he's putting it together. Again, I think that will take a little bit of time. He's had so much experience at the college level. So overall, I do think it's an exciting class. It's certainly led by Jaden, and it feels like he's kind of walking to that Rookie of the Year trophy.
Hey, Sean, before we go, do you think Manny Forbes gets dealt before the deadline today away from the Commanders? Do you see that happening?
I certainly think there's a possibility just because the Commanders, they're going to be a really smart front office. I know that they're calling every single team just kind of figuring out, hey, can we just get a little bit more draft capital? I wouldn't be surprised if just no one bites, I think, overall, just because, adding in at that cornerback position in the middle of the season, sometimes that can just be, I think, a little bit hard. So I guess when I think of the Commanders overall, I wouldn't be upset if they kind of stand pat. I think it makes sense for them to try and add some capital as opposed to really kind of mortgaging the future for something when, look, the Commanders have the cheat code. They have the quarterback that they love on a rookie contract. That's just going to be such a fantastic thing to build around.
Sean, thanks as always for the time, man. Always great skinny from you. We appreciate it, man.
Good stuff.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, that's Sean Syed, Sumer Sports NFL analyst. Don't forget, coming up in just over 20 minutes at 9 a.m., Brian Robinson from the Washington Commanders. He'll join us here on The Fan. So, show personnel update. EB had to leave.
Personnel update.
he had to leave for an emergency dental procedure.
Uh-huh.
He's having another root canal. Yeah. I don't think I've ever had a root canal.
How's that guy not have?
I have not.
How does he not have like some sort of like dentist endorsement? That's the easiest endorsement on the planet.
He's had a lot of work done.
I mean,
but would he be a good representative? You usually want somebody with good teeth to represent you.
No, it's...
He's always there.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know that I would if pictures of his mouth representing the dentist.
Well,
I didn't even realize he was taking pictures of his teeth. Did you see what he was doing?
Well,
he was putting his big finger and like moving his thing. He has two missing teeth.
I'll just get, because I sit to his left.
Yeah.
So whenever I see him move his mouth,
there's a big black space.
Chasm right here in his mouth.
Yeah.
Where the teeth should be.
It's kind of
right,
scary.
No, but
looking.
I've seen the one hole, but when he moved his mouth, there's two holes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like tooth, missing tooth, missing tooth.
I mean, eventually he's going to, like you said, he's not going to have any real teeth anymore. So he's going to have to get dentures.
We have play-by-play on his teeth.
Maybe it's not because it's... because instead having one, you may end up seeing three holes instead of one.
Well, yeah. You knew that Omar was talking about Eric Bickle's mouth.
You know, there are certain professions where you'll get a client that'll make you rich, right?
Sure.
So like if you're a lawyer for certain people, they're always getting into trouble. They've always got something. You're constantly getting those billable hours.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
EB is that client for that dentist.
Yeah. I mean, not a big surprise. His dentist has a tennis court in his backyard.
Yeah, I know. Hey, he's playing tennis with Fabergé eggs.
But this is how crazy EB is for golf right now. Yeah. He goes, I hope I can make my noon tea time.
I mean,
that'd be the least of my concerns.
Luckily,
if I have two missing teeth and they're telling me to get a root canal.
Knock on wood, I've never had a root canal. Hopefully, I never have one. I don't know how long.
The recovery?
I just don't know how long the procedure or how invasive it is. I don't know anything about it.
I think it's roughly 45 minutes or so.
And you're
my wife just had one.
So you're just good
and
to go.
And you're just fine afterwards?
Like, you just walk right out.
Well, I mean, because they numb you up. And I guess, after the numbing, wears off. Yeah. Put it this way. He ain't going to feel great later today.
No, I'm sure he's not.
What do you got, 155?
Yeah.
To the pin? You hear something on him? Squirrel, damn it, another three putt. I swear I need a new putter.
Oh, man.
Let me get the T-Moo out.
Apparently, it's so serious that he's like, I was like, you have to drive to your dentist. I know where his dentist
works. Where's his dentist?
His dentist is generally in Frederick, which is a hall. So he's like, no, no. I have to go straight to the dental surgeon.
Yeah, he's got
to. He's not even going to
the dentist.
Yeah, emergency surgery.
He's going, straight to dental surgery with the quickness.
So his appointment's at 10 o'clock.
Does make me think that I have been a little bit remiss as far as getting my latest cleaning.
Yeah.
Because I clearly don't want to go down the road that he's on. I might need to book that today.
You're not as remiss as me. It's been 8 or 9 years for me.
Well, that is egregious. I can't believe you've gone nearly a decade without going to the dentist. I mean, you could have five cavities in your mouth.
I could, but I don't have any sort of dental pain.
Mm-hmm.
I told you this before that, you know, after I got divorced, I moved a lot. Mm-hmm. And I went to the dentist, and then I changed dentists, and I didn't go for a couple of years. And then I sat down for the first time in like 3 years, and I'm, number one, embarrassed. So the further I go along, I'm embarrassed because they're going to ask me, when's the last time you went to the dentist? Yeah. And I have to fess up 8 or 9 years or whatever, right?
Then you're going to scrape your mouth relentlessly. Yeah.
But then
it's going to hurt.
So I hadn't been for a while, and I was just preparing for the dental floss lecture, whatever. And the technician, I hadn't been in like 3 or 4 years, goes, you have amazing teeth. You mm-hmm. floss every night.
I've never heard that.
And I don't.
The dentist has never said that to me. Not
so
once.
So part of me feels like it's a bit of a scam mm-hmm. that you're supposed to go every 6 months.
Could be.
And I think I read, I don't want to go be Mr. Conspiracy Theory guy, but I read at some point years and years ago, the American Dental Association recommended that you should go twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
There was no science behind it. It was just a random number.
The toothpaste industry behind that.
It doesn't hurt. Yeah. It doesn't hurt you. I mean, it's like going for a physical. I mean, you should go to the doctor at least once a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You should go get your teeth checked out.
I agree.
Never know.
Dental lobbyists I'm in the wrong. Strong.
Yeah. I'm a little bit scared because I haven't been for eight or nine years.
I'm not going to call out my dentist per se. I'm a little concerned that her office decor, I feel like I'm stepping like back into like an episode of Three's Company from the 80s or the late 70s. Old furniture, really old wallpaper in the cleaning rooms.
So saving money.
I guess.
Or maybe you need new clients.
I don't know. I just feel like the place needs a little bit of a sprucing up. Like it's really old. Not dilapidated, but it's getting close.
I hate going to the dentist. Everyone does. I just, now that he's going through his nonsense,
yeah,
and I don't have nearly those issues.
I feel better about my dental trips.
But I probably should go, because it's probably been since, so what are we in, November? It's probably been since last summer.
It's not that, not as bad as a guy sitting to your left.
Oh, I know. I mean, it was nine summers.
He's going to have such a swollen mouth later today. I thought root canals took like multiple hours. I guess it's just a easy procedure for dentists.
Hey, I don't think I've had one. But
Drabby, real quick before we go, we got B-Rob at 9. You know, my younger daughter who's down in Blacksburg at Virginia Tech, she's had a rough few weeks. Mm-hmm. I told the story about her apartment getting broken into.
Yeah.
So she came home this past weekend. She just needed to get away. I was like, come home.
Understood.
Hang out with your sister. Hang out mm-hmm. with us. We, you know, went to dinner. She drives back yesterday. She runs out of gas.
Oh, no.
On Route 460, which is a major, it's right off of 81, and 460 goes right into, from Christiansburg into Blacksburg. It's a pretty, you know, traveled highway.
Yeah.
And I'm going, what the F? How do you run out of gas? She says, I thought I had enough gas to get me 25 miles. I said, you don't take a chance. So she runs out of gas mm-hmm. on Route 460.
Okay.
She calls me freaking out. I was like, what am I supposed to do? You got to either call a cop or call one of your friends.
AAA friend.
All her friends were in class.
Yeah.
Was there a gas station nearby?
No. Of course not. I mean, you had to drive to it. She couldn't walk to it.
Well, you can. If there's one within a mile.
No, I told her. On 460, you do not walk on 460.
Right.
You don't.
Call an Uber.
It's too dangerous.
Call an Uber.
She could have called an Uber, but she didn't. So anyway, one of her friends was able to get out of class early and come pick her up. But I'm thinking to myself,
she had the gas face.
What are you doing? She had the gas face. Yeah. I had the gas face.
You had the gas face. Big time.
How do you run out of gas? I said, that's never going to happen with you ever again. Don't be stupid.
I've only done that once in my entire life. One time, and it was...
I've never run out of gas.
It was within the last 5 or 6 years.
I don't know how you run out of gas. All right, look, now, if your gas gauge breaks, that's different. But hers didn't break.
I think I've run out of gas six times.
She was testing
six
it.
Six times.
Now, five times were...
That's an outrageous amount.
I will
amount.
Say this. Five times were with that. Remember that Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme that I had from my dad? And it had a broken gas gauge.
Okay.
And if it got to... 3/4, it was a crapshoot. Right. Like, you just didn't know.
Well, I mean, can you not get it fixed?
They were all, honestly, I ran out of gas one time in front of EB's wife's family's house. Yeah. They had a gas canister. Mm-hmm. I mean, the mobile gas station was a tenth of a mile away.
I mean, you can't run out of gas more than, like, 2 or 3 times. You got to learn your lesson at some point.
Like I said, five times was that car. Well, with that car.
These days... I mean, if you run out of gas, you're just a massive donk. I mean, it tells you. No offense, Jason.
No,
I
agree.
I told her, I was like,
you're being
stupid.
20
miles left.
I know.
15 miles left.
Yeah.
I know.
Pull over.
Yeah.
I guarantee her mind was doing something else. She was thinking about other stuff.
I remember at one point, I was on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. And if you've ever driven that road, there are long gaps between like where the exits are. So I remember I was low on gas. And I was like, I'm good till the next exit. Then, like, it went from a white light to a red light. And then when the red light is on, it means, hey, you're about to get boned if you don't get to a gas station soon. And I look up at the sign. It says, next exit. Well, it's like 21 miles away. I'm like, oh, I'm rolling the dice. I think I coasted in like on full-on fumes.
I drove
and made it. Luckily,
after the New York
Marathon, that'll never happen with me.
Yeah,
after the New York Marathon, I drove from New Jersey back home.
Yeah,
my brother lives in Summit, New Jersey. I wanted to not stop at all because I was going to get home 9:30-ish. I had to stop with less than 10 miles to go on the trip because I had 4 miles left.
Yep.
Drab's right. I mean, it tells you 4 miles.
You gotta know.
Correct.
At that point, you gotta stop. All right, when we come back, we will be joined by Brian Robinson from the Washington Commanders. He missed last week's game. Hopefully, he's able to go against the Steelers. He's going to join us coming up next here on The Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.